I'll open up your copy of the scriptures, turn to James chapter 4 with me, look at the same passage for this week and next week as well. You remember last week this becomes very important as, of course, we head deeper into the chapter. We see that James chapter 4 is teaching us about a war of passions, and in 4:1, what causes the quarrels and fights that are among you? And we're just talking about conflict and what causes it, where does it come from? And my hope is over these few weeks as we look into this topic, we see where it comes from, we dig deeper into the source, hopefully that's today, and then we land on the answer later in James chapter 4, as humility, as we'll see next week. He says, to humble yourselves, draw near to God, which your passions are among you. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? I think we can identify with that. Amen? I mean, I just think that is not difficult to identify with. I have a passion, I have something I want, something I desire, and sometimes, you might say in this world, it feels like, often, my passion is at odds with someone else's passion. We start to butt heads. It's the tragedy of the human story when our passions are at odds with what God's passion is, what God's desire is. And that's certainly in this chapter today. Your passions are at war within you. You desire, in verse 2, it's all about what you want. You covet. And as a result, you fight and you ask wrongly and you want something. And you're pouring out your heart to the Lord, but you're doing it because of what you want, not considering what God wants. We used the word last week, idolatry, and it's going to come up again this week. A ruling desire, something that becomes an I must have, something you see as essential. Life doesn't make sense unless it goes this certain way. And you may think, well, that's big, right? That's just big. I want this career. I want that house. I want this. But really, the big becomes the small. We live in the mundane. And it's so easy and subtle for these ruling desires to rule your every moment, your every day. And you don't even think so necessarily. You don't think that way. You don't frame it that way. But it's what happens. Something you need. And I said last week, wrote it on my paper again this week, I need my coffee. Right? Have you heard that? Don't even talk to me till I've had my coffee. You see, coffee, it's subtle, isn't it? It's almost silly to talk about, but coffee has become a need in that person's life. And they would feel like if you're blocking their goal towards coffee, then you're just going to blow up. And then there's an excuse, right? Well, of course I got angry. You talked to me before I had my coffee. Well, what's going on there? Wars and fights. Where are they coming from? Something is in there that you want, something that you need. It shows up in generally three ways, and James frames it well for us in verse 2. But it shows up in generally three ways. Something I want, but I don't have. You desire and you do not have. And if, you know, that just turns into lust and you're seeking it and you think you have to have it, and it usually ends up being a lot less than you thought it was going to be if you ever get it. Something that is being withheld, it says you cannot obtain, right? So you want it, but something, usually someone, is in your way of getting it, right? Well, I could have a nicer home and a happy family if my boss would just pay me double what he pays me. Right? So my boss is the problem. And that happens all the time. I would like to have peace at home, but my family doesn't give any peace, and so they're blocking that goal. And something that I have, the third way idolatry shows up, something I have, and I'm deathly afraid that I'll lose it. Boy, that's a relational point right there, isn't it? People work so hard to manipulate someone into a relationship, and then they double down and work even harder to keep the relationship, because losing that relationship would mean the end of their world. And happens all the time. something in relationships or something you want you're not getting, so there's conflict, hurt, and anger. You begin to see the other person in your life as the enemy or other people as a problem. People begin to block you from getting what you clearly need, and so conflict arises. You fear maybe what they might take from you. That comes out. Some people just have what you could frame as an irrational fear of just being out in public, because what'll happen? What if someone does something to you or whatever, right? I mean, it's just, you see people as a problem at that point. So, as we've said, this is more than a behavioral issue. It goes down into our desires. We're going to look at, again, some very stark language from James. There's one of the things you appreciate about James is he ain't pulling no punches, right? I mean, it's just plain. He's not beating around the bush for us. He's just shooting it straight to us, and we just have to digest some of this really blunt language that James uses. So read with me today, and we'll unpack some more of James 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, and you do not have, so you murder. You covet, and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. There is one, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? That's a good word. Pray with me. Well, God, again, we pray for grace as we unpack your word presented to us so clearly and so plainly. Help us, Lord, to, in a personal way, take these things to heart. Not to minimize where we're at. If we all have room to grow, and we do, just because some of us have reached more maturity in some of these areas than others, it doesn't mean we don't need to change ourselves as well. So just please help us with that. Work by your Spirit to point out our own inconsistencies, flaws, and places we need to grow. And then help us, God, change us and give us your power to do what we can't in our flesh. And I pray that our relationships would be sweet, that we would be like Christ, that we would be humble and learn to be humble and to put off arrogant pride and to be able to speak the truth in love and resolve problems in this world where we live in sound bites and relationships are so cheap today. And so I just pray you'd help us to be different. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you can identify with this man, James. And maybe, I don't know, it doesn't have to be a man. Ladies can have the same experience. You go to work all day, and you just want to come home. Dinner's on the table. Read your paper. Unwind. Calm down. And relax. But you come home, and you walk in the door. Only been married a few years, and you're greeted with, right? And James thinks to himself, well, here we go again. She's starting in on me. And maybe, like James, you begin to take all the overtime that you can get. Disconnect yourself from the chaos at home. There's an old blues song a lady said. She said, I'm an old woman, and I don't understand how you can work all day, come home, and have nothing to say. Right? This is life. This is where we live. we live in these periods. And I love how Paul Tripp framed the marriage relationship. He said, it's two sinners coming together in a broken world and trying to live together. I mean, in that context, we can expect conflict, can't we? We can expect difficulties. Sometimes you come home, you just want to relax. But, you know, our friend Jack, he's not thinking that way. He's not thinking, okay, here is my goal for the night. Here is my desire, and I deserve it. Right? He's not thinking that way. He's not thinking, my wife had better not interrupt my good plan for the evening. He's not thinking that. But boy, that's what's lived out in their marriage in those moments. Where do these conflicts come from? Where do they come from? That's James' question. What causes? And you know what? That'll sell a book, won't it? What causes the quarrels and conflicts? Because the world is full of quarrels and conflicts. People want to know what causes those quarrels and conflicts. Now, unfortunately, in the world, people want to know so that they can fix everyone else, right? And that's where we wrestle with it as Christians. We had contact with a new person we're going to start marriage counseling with from out of town. And I'm not a prophet, but I can about guarantee you it's the other person's fault. Right? It always is. I wanted to make a big painted sign in my office and cover it with a curtain. It's the other person's fault, and just reveal that first session of marriage counseling every time. He uses words like war, murder, fight, and quarrel, and that's some people have that experience. It's very hard. And certainly people that come from marriage counseling very often it sounds like war. It sounds like it's a tiring place to live. You know, I'm exhausted listening to their story, not having to live there. What causes these conflicts then? And we saw the heart of conflict last week. We started out with this desire war, this war of passions. Now, he's going to take us down a level then in the next part of this passage. And for us this morning, we're going to go down a level then. And again, blunt language, okay? You adulterous people. Now, can you imagine? I want you just to, here you are, you're American, all right? You come in here, it's Sunday, praise God, it's the Lord's Day, good time, we're in church, we're worshiping the Lord, and your slightly overweight pastor comes up and he says, I got a word for you, you dirty adulterers! Now, that's going to be a good Sunday, right? That's pretty blunt, isn't it? What causes these quarrels and fights among you? There's passion war going on, and what happens is spiritual adultery. Whoa. No, not me, right? That's got to be everybody else. Hear this. We need to pay attention to this. He's using blunt language on purpose. Spiritual adultery, we used the word idolatry last week. Adultery, of course, is used of an unfaithful spouse, possibly the worst betrayal of any human may have to face in their life, possibly. Because the person has vowed before God till death do us part, but instead they give, their spouse gives their love themselves to another. Wow. That's powerful imagery, amen? That is powerful imagery for James to use. What causes these wars and fights among us? It's spiritual adultery that causes them. God used terms like harlotry and adultery to describe the actions of Israel when they rejected him for false gods. He said, you've run after another spouse. I married you, you're mine, and you ran off with someone else. Friendship with the world. Friendship with God is enmity with, friendship with the world is enmity with God. The world there he's talking about is the evil world system, popular culture, our society and all that it represents. The lust, materialism, greed, and vanity, wickedness, sexual immorality of culture, all that stands in opposition to what, all the things of God. I love this quote here by Charles Swindoll. I love the way I can hear his voice as he says this. It's very, very good, very well written or said. The world system is committed to at least four major objectives: fortune, wealth and materialism, fame, popularity, power, influence or control, and pleasure, fulfilling one's sensual desires. Following those kinds of lusts is what humans do naturally. And James is pointing us to this both ways. You can't have it both ways. You know, in our pluralistic society, people think you can. But think about life today. You know, can you really have a devoted marriage relationship when you're completely in love with someone else? Can you? You just can't, right? It just doesn't go that. It doesn't work that way. I can't pursue and love and go running after some other woman and then come home and have a wonderful marriage relationship with my wife. It just doesn't work like that. My heart is divided, split between two things. And, you know, I know my wife. She's a slight little lady. She'd probably try to kill me, right? It just doesn't work like that. You can't have a heart that's after two different things, two different people. So the idea for friend here, friend of the world, is fondness or affection. That's the word that's used. It's the Greek word for friendly love. You have set your affections on what God calls sin. You set your affections, you set your desires after the things that the world desires. Of course you're God's enemy. You're in enmity with God. He says that. You're God's enemy. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father but from above. So you make yourself God's enmity as enemy as well. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And I believe he has in mind, because he brings it up, we'll see in verse 7, demonic faith again. You believe there is one God, you do well, even demons believe and shudder. It's not the wisdom that comes from above, that comes down from above, it's an earthly and spiritual demonic. He's continuing this theme in this letter. You're a spiritual adulterer, how? You're a spiritual adulterer by following the three enemies of your soul, the flesh, the devil, and the world. It's a continuing theme throughout James. And this time he's singling out the devil. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, right? And so the spiritual adultery, think about this with me. The last time that you had a knockdown, drag-out fight with someone, and you were wrong. Now, some of you are going to stretch because you've probably never been wrong. And you realize afterwards that you've been wrong. All right? I want you to think about what was going on. Did you in those moments say, you know what, right now, I don't really care what they have to say. I don't care what God has to say. I don't care. I'm just going to follow the devil because I got to win. Did you think that? This is how God is framing those human interactions for us. You see how stark this language is. Yeah, I'm going to commit adultery on God right now, and I'm just going to destroy someone else because I want to be right. And I deserve it. I want what I want, and I need it. Submit yourself to God. We'll come back to that, of course, next week as we look at the answer. God answers humility. Now, the devil here is diabolos. You know, we see that, diablo. And it means to be an accuser or a slanderer, one who causes humiliation or disgrace by making malicious and false statements. That's what the Greek word means. That sounds a lot like some human interactions that I've been a part of. Slander, malicious statements, hurting people, tearing down. The Hebrew means to attack, accuse, or adversary. The Hebrew word for the devil, Satan, means to attack, accuse, or adversary. So I guess the simple message from this is don't be a devil. Right? Don't be a devil. Well, but someone needed to put him in their place, and I had to slander them. And, well, you know, have you ever heard those, you know, you start talking to someone, they're trying to make their case, and it's just spun a little bit, and the other person's a little worse than they really were, and there's a few things entered in there that shouldn't have been said. That person's a devil. Ouch. Amen. They're being a devil. Gossip, evil speaking, that's all acting like the devil or following the devil. Slander, attacking, hurting other people, selfishly seeking your own will, seeking what you want, doing what you want to do instead of what God wants. You're acting like the devil. Ouch. Here's how I would frame this passage. I don't think I'll have it up here, unfortunately. I would love to. Nope. Just a command. Don't speak evil against each other. Oh, yeah, maybe I do. Let's go one more. Okay, good. Here's how I would frame this. Look at this. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself God's enemy. In those moments when we go our own way, when we do our own thing, when we ignore God's clear directives and we manipulate, we slander, we hurt, we destroy, we attack, we have left the most beautiful lover of your soul, God Almighty, and you have run off with his worst enemy. Think about that. You have left, you have devalued the lover of your soul, the only person in this universe who can love you purely, and you have run off with his worst enemy, and yours, by the way, right? And yours. That's dark language right there. What causes the wars and fights among you? Well, spiritual adultery, friendship with the world. You make yourself God's enemy. Now, the root of the problem is pride. And anytime you're following Satan, you're going to find pride. Pride is all over the story. And it's all over our story. And pride is very active in the human heart. Pride is subtle. It's easier to see in other people than it is in yourself. He gives more grace, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is that root of so many sins. What causes the wars and fights among you? You have a desire war going on you, and that desire war causes you to become God's enemy and run off in adultery with his worst enemy. What's going on there? You just want what you want. You think you deserve it. You think you're better. It's pride. Now, pride caused the devil to fall. What a tragic loss that was. And I love some of the language in some of these, too, because it shows that the devil actually made an exchange. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And I cast you to the ground, exposed you before kings. The devil had everything. He was in the presence of God. He was created to serve God. He was beautiful, and he gave it up because of arrogance. He wanted to be better. He wanted to be more. Anger. Be angry and do not sin. Think about the conflicts that we have. Give no opportunity to the devil or no place to the devil. Pride is, it's demonic. Self-exalting, putting yourself first, your desire, your will, your good, your wants, and thinking that other people are less. And again, I know I'm not saying that anyone sits here and thinks, you know what? I am just better than my spouse. I deserve more. You know what, that boss of mine? Hey, he gets more than he paid for. I can just be a jerk if I want to or whatever. That's pride. Conflict is often the result of pride. Very interesting. In the summer of 1986, so not too long ago, in our modern day, and you would think that the ocean is a pretty big place, right? Now, unfortunately, if you've ever been on boats or ships, you know that humans aren't very smart sometimes, and so the ocean isn't quite big enough. But so what happened here, you see these guys are pretty close together. Two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia, and the waters up there are generally pretty cold, and the report is that hundreds of passengers died as a result. And you would think in our modern day, there's radar, there's sonar, there's just really no reason for ships of all things, right? You know, you should be able to turn them, stop or whatever. There's no reason for ships to crash into each other anymore. Sometimes things just happen, but shouldn't. Well, what happened was none of that. No radar malfunction, no technology problem, no fog, clear weather, everything. But what happened, that the captains saw each other, and they weren't going to move. And they just assumed that the other guy would turn. It's my lane anyway, right? I deserve to be here. And they didn't. And then the ships got closer and closer, and pretty soon it's too late to turn. And they realized too late and smashed into each other. Both ships went down. Stubbornness, pride. That sounds like a lot of the things that happen in our homes throughout the week, doesn't it? We're heading towards each other. Somebody needs a turn, but it ain't going to be me. Right? It's pride. It's pride. You know, you think, and like when I just, all marriage counseling is on my mind because we got this new case, but you know, you think of what's going on. I don't know how many times I've sat down with a couple and it's 100% the other person's fault. And you know, working through it, it's never even close. You know, you may feel like it's never even close. Never in my experience has it been even close. In fact, it's very often the self-righteous one that's more of a problem. They think it's like 99.1%. They were right. It's 99% on them. Right? But it's never. You always have something in those conflicts that's you, that you can get right. And that's where your power is to work on it. But no, we have this tunnel vision where we see it's always the other guy that needs to move. It's always the other guy that needs to change. I'll do that if they say they're sorry. I'll move, you know, and then what's the next requirement? Because we're just like those ships are just bearing down on each other, and then pretty soon it's too late to stop. Boom. Why? Because you were proud. You were proud. You weren't willing to listen. You weren't willing to hear. You weren't willing to make it about you. You weren't willing to change. You weren't willing to accept what God says about you, or you weren't willing to let the Spirit work in the situation. Pride is a killer. In pride, you want your own way instead of God's way. In pride, you want your way no matter who you hurt. In pride, you want your way no matter what it costs. In pride, you think you know better than God in the moment. In pride, you think you know better than everyone else, certainly, right? Have you ever talked to someone where you felt like it would be perfectly acceptable if you left and they just kept talking? Have you ever, I mean, you have no part in the conversation anyway, right? Someone else might as well just stand there, put a cardboard thing up, come back an hour later. It was fine, right? That's how it is. That's pride. It's all about you. You're the smartest. You know what you're talking about. No one else has an opinion. No one else needs to be part of this. Your side of the story is the only one that matters. You get louder and louder. You're not hearing me. And if I get a little louder, then it's going to get better. If I get a little angrier, it's going to get better, right? You're going to finally hear me. I must be heard. That's pride. Maybe you think that you're the only one that's right and everyone else should just listen. If your life is all about you getting what you want and your desires, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have conflict. The result is often evil speaking or bad words. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother judges his brother, speaks evil against the law, judges the law. It's can be kind of a confusing passage there. But what he's saying, the word evil speaking is literally slander. Don't slander each other. Don't speak things against one another that are not true. You become a condemning judge. In pride, you run people down. You make assumptions of what their motives are and those kind of things, and you begin to slander them. You say things about their motives and their heart that you have no idea of knowing. And it's like saying you know better than God, you think you know it all, you think you have the answers, and instead of listening and helping or solving the problem, you become the judge. You become the judge of every problem, every motive. And of course, that's arrogant. You might say things like, I see what's going on here. Or, oh, I know what this is all about. Well, that's becoming an evil judge. And if you pass judgment instead of listening, he says in 2:4, have you not then made distinctions among yourself and become judges of evil thoughts? Right? Pride. Ultimately, you put yourself in God's place. Ouch, again, it's just such a stark passage. There is only one lawgiver. Who are you to judge your neighbor? You know, have you thought of yourself in that way? It's rare, I would say. You know, it's the grace of God when God works in your heart to say to you in those moments, don't put yourself in my place. Right? But that's exactly what James is saying there. Who are you to judge? You're not God. Right? You don't know their heart. You don't know everything that's going on. You know, one of the things that God has really helped me with over the last few years is when you approach people, and it's really especially important in the community, I hear evil speak. My world is full of evil speaking. It is. Slander. Did you know they did this? My world is full of this stuff. That guy's supposed to be a pastor. You know, other pastors had a bad day or whatever. Just consider for a while that they might be having a bad day or carrying something heavy or you don't know what's going on. Don't become an evil judge with evil thoughts, making all kinds of summary judgments on someone that you don't have the facts for. Right? That's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. That's what he's speaking to here. Don't become God and pretend like you know everything that's going on in every person's life and they shouldn't do that and how dare they do that and I've got the answer for them and I better go tell them. Right? You put yourself in God's place. You judge your neighbor. And conflict results when you do that. And it should, shouldn't it? I mean, it should. It should, like we read earlier, it should show who's approved and who's not. Pride, it's a terrible thing. The heart of conflict then, like I said, we'll come back and talk humility next week. But I do what I do because I want what I want. There is a desire war going on inside every single one of us. Every one of us. And it's very strong because we are a desiring people. The world knows it. Advertisers know it. Everyone knows that we need to learn it as Christians. That we are desiring. And those desires need to be brought into alignment with God's Word. And so that our desires are, I'll use the word always, but our desires are increasingly righteous desires. There's a desire war going on us. Conflicts begin with your own heart, and your desires, when conflict is arising, your desires are not God's desires. Life becomes all about you. Pride. You put yourself in God's place, you set yourself up as judge, and you become God's enemy. You run off against the best lover of your soul with his worst enemy. So recognize in those moments when that old man, that old woman is rising up in you and you are ready to fight, recognize in that moment you're acting like the devil. And say, no, I'm not going to follow the devil. I'm not going to be the devil today. I'm not going to be God's enemy. Because, again, we have the opportunity to be God's friend. Right? God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. You know, what is your need in conflict? Is your need to resolve the situation, to win, to have some peace, like Jack, to get your paper read, right? You know, Jack was not going to have a good day, no matter what, right? He might as well talk to his wife. It's not going to happen. Talk to your wife, settle it down, then who knows, maybe she will, and then an hour later you can read your paper. What's your goal in that time, though? You can have the opportunity to submit to God. When Jack came home, he should have been thinking, whatever God wills for me this evening, that's what I want to happen. If I have to, at the end of a day, I'm exhausted, and God has me wanting me to minister to my wife and give even more, praise God, I'm going to do it. You see? That wasn't Jack's plan. In his pride, I deserve it. I've worked hard all day. I support my family. How dare she not give me my paper time? Draw near to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Turn to God in repentance. That's the language, and we'll come back to that next week. Submit to God, draw near to God, turn to God in repentance. Embrace God's will for your life. Ask yourself again those questions. Why do I want what I want? Why do I want that? Why is that so important to me? Why do I want it so badly? And be wise, just like old Jack, If God's withholding that thing that you think you have to live, he has a reason. He knows what you need. Doesn't feel like it sometimes, does it? Feels like sometimes God would just understand, right? He does. He knows. And if he's withholding it, he's wise. He's got a better plan for you. You'll see God do some amazing things. You'll see God do some amazing things. We'll come back to that next week. Let's pray. God, thank you for this reminder today. I know I don't want to think of myself as following the devil or being like the devil. But God, I know my foolish heart. Help me today. Help us today to be like Christ and to not commit spiritual adultery, to follow you single-mindedly and wholeheartedly. We know we can't do that without you. God, just help us. Encourage us by your word that you have given us your Son and your Spirit. You withhold no good thing from us, and we can overcome in this area of personal relationships and conflict. So help us, God. I pray that we would increasingly have a sweet attitude and spirit towards one another, that we would increasingly be willing to put off our own desires to embrace yours and to minister to each other, increasingly solving the conflicts and problems righteously and pursuing you and fleeing, rejecting the devil so that he would flee from us. And I just pray you'd work in this afternoon. Encourage us throughout the week as we seek your will and try to follow you well. And I just pray you'd give us some people to share the gospel with even today. Use our tongues rightly to praise you and give glory to you for all that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.